Welcome back to Dark Florida. On this episode, I sat down with Nick from The Occult Rejects to explore his testimony and the experiences with Black Hole Sun, a journey that led him across the abyss and into the deeper realms of the occult. Together, we dive into hidden symbolism, esoteric practices, and the shadows that most choose to ignore. This conversation is not for the faint of heart, but for those willing to listen and look beyond the veil. I hope you enjoy as we uncover what lies beneath. Nick, it is an honor to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. No, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Giving me a platform to talk about my experience. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dive into this.
Yeah, it's definitely weird and out there, and you know, an experience that I definitely will never forget. So, sure. I mean, I guess maybe for some of the listeners who aren't even sure who I am, you know, I do have a podcast, The Occult Rejects, that is, you know, covers occultism and magic. I have, you know, I've been practicing and studying the occult, you know, probably for like, you know, 15 years. And I was in the OTO for about 5 or 6. I'm not currently a member anymore. I haven't gone in years. I didn't find, I eventually just started to realize that that place did not really give off the image of a magical experience or what I was looking for. So eventually I left. But yeah, I mean, that's my experience. I've been studying the occult. I was a member of the OTO, and you know, now I have a podcast on occultism and magic. And I really try to touch on a lot of the things that I think is being left out or not really talked about when it comes to magic. And especially with, you know, this topic here, the black sun or the eclipse, or, you know, whatever people want to call it. You know, it's, for me, it is a constant visual that happens every time I cross the abyss. And, you know, there's just there's a lot of weird and interesting things that start popping up in the visuals and the feelings that I have noticed, like in occultism and our occult architecture art, where it's like, to me, it's like, I think once you have that experience, you realize how much of the shit is actually in your face, you know, and it's pretty mind blowing. I do just want to preface real quick before we go into anything else. There was no drug use whenever I had these experiences. So there was no like hallucinogenics, added. I don't think, you know, except for the first time I had a magical experience, every time after that, it was always done with meditation. So I'm not even promoting rituals either. So, you know, I guess just going forward, you know, I want to put that out there. There was no drugs. I'm not telling you to go out and do rituals. And I guess, too, what I would like to say, like, before we really get into it, and it may not be something I really get into too much on this show, but when it comes to occultism, occult symbolism, and occult secrets, you know, there's things out there that we're expected to understand, in my opinion. Or that we're allowed to even understand. And I don't think it really is like the true meaning of stuff. But when it comes to occult secrets, like the real secrets, there's a lot of stuff within the eyeballs. I beg people that are listening, if you're interested in this, or if you're even taking what I'm saying, you know, at all, paying attention to it or take heed to it, I really beg people to please start looking into the eyeball and start learning how the eyeball works. And look at specific parts of the eyeball, multiple different angles, especially the optic nerve, the zonules is in, the hyaloid canal, the oris serrata, the lens. If you start looking into those things, you'll start seeing that in a lot of art and a lot of churches and in a lot of cult symbolism. So I just want to put that out there. And the thing is that even with this experience, again, I may not have enough time to go into it because those are like two separate topics I could spend a ton of time on each. There is even a change in your eyes and thing with light, you know, in my opinion, when that happens. And another thing I do want to just put out there, and it may sound a little weird, a little creepy. I actually thought like your show might be better for this than maybe some other shows because of the paranormal. You know, and I'm not saying this to be like edgy or saying it to try to get clicks or do people think like I'm a gangster, because there's other people out there that do this much more than I am and much more advanced. I'm just like, you know, low guy on the totem pole here. You know, death is a reality for magic. In my opinion, you won't actually experience a real magical effect unless you actually technically die. Like, crossing the abyss, in my opinion, is actually, in a sense, almost like temporary suicide. Mm. I know this may sound crazy and sound weird. The first thing I would just like to say to that, go listen to NDEs. Go listen to stories of people with NDEs.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to a lot of their stories, and you might start to see some commonalities between my story and this story. You know, their stories. But yeah, not to sound crazy or nuts or anything, but when it comes to magic, in my opinion, death is something that's needed. I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie Flatliners?
I haven't.
Well, that movie is like based on, like, you know, that shit really happens. And just like real quick, just to explain it to you, it's like you had a group of people that were able to, and I'll be totally honest with you, I might actually do that if I was given the chance. They have a hospital setting to where they can actually kill themselves and then bring themselves back after like a minute or two of being down.
Oh, wow.
And as they're doing this, these people are experiencing shit in another world and coming back, you know. And if people were to go watch that movie, if they haven't seen that, in my opinion, they're showing you what magic actually really is right there.
I feel like I've heard of that. And then don't they document their experiences? And what seems like a minute is actually like hours or days.
Yeah, that's even things that I've said with me. I mean, there's times where I'm sure my experience might have been like 30 seconds or a minute, but like it felt like a while I was like in meditation.
Yeah, like time changes.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing I think I mentioned already. Rituals aren't needed, but like every time that I've had a magical experience, it's only been from meditating, either sitting in a chair or laying down.
That's incredible. Yeah. I think a lot of people think you have to do a bunch of things. You have to get out the candles, dim the lights, and like say things three times. But
yeah. A candle I could see maybe helping because of the light, which right. You know, I have had experiences with just, you know, everything off and just the candle lit. And I do think that actually helps, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, that's really impressive. Did you have to work on meditating before you got to this point?
Like, I've
tried to meditate and it's so hard for me to calm my mind and be in the moment. I do some guided meditations because I can't just meditate on my own.
I started off with guided meditations. That was the only way I could get into it. I mean,
right.
For people listening, whatever helps you get there. I mean, if you're into meditating, when I wanted to get into meditating, I literally was listening to kids' guided meditations of like them. It was like a meditation. It almost sounded like they were like walking into like a Lord of the Rings style town.
Nice.
Whatever I needed to catch my attention and get me focused, I did it. You know,
right.
And it helped.
No, that's awesome. I just had a coworker. She went on a silent retreat, and I can't think of it, but she went on a 10-day retreat, and she was talking about how, 10 days silent retreat.
I think. Great. Jesus.
Yeah, 10 days in Georgia. And she was talking about how in the morning, when they did this meditation after breakfast, that you had to sit in this spot for an hour. And part of it was connecting with your body and connecting with those feelings of uncomfortability. So like your body's going to be sore sitting in that same place, but it was teaching you to just kind of like let that feeling pass and not focus on it and just to be.
Mm. You know, 10 days, that's a long time. I mean, when I went to the meditation, I think one night was silent. The first night, I think. I'm like, yeah. So when it comes to, I guess, like the black sun, you know, I've been trying to kind of talk about that and push that because, except for the first time, and like, again, I don't know, I've said this on other shows, I'm not exactly sure if the first thing that I had was actually a magical experience, but, you know, I was doing a ritual. And I was focusing on my chakras and focusing on my pineal gland. And like something just, it was almost like I was, you ever see those things at a carnival where you swing the hammer and you hit the thing and it rings the bell? If you get it, you know? It was like something like that had happened to me where I was like working on my chakras. And like all of a sudden it just felt like something blasted up to my head. And like, I just, all I saw was white. And then like, I felt like I like walked into an HD TV. And it looked like I was in Egypt or something. I couldn't even tell you. Just I saw a lot of sand, and I thought I might have been in a pyramid because it was like an open view that looked like triangular. So I'm assuming I'm on the top of a pyramid looking at that sand. And I started to wonder, like, who am I or what am I doing here? And it basically pretty much just ended after that. So, like, it wasn't, like, too long or too crazy, but that freaked me out. And then after that, I decided to kind of like, oh, I'm not going to do rituals anymore because maybe the ritual did that. I'm just going to stick to meditation and chakra work. And then after that, once I started just doing meditation and chakra work, it actually got crazier. And I started ending up with consistent visions and feelings that happened every time after this. Every time I was to, you know, mess with magic across the abyss, it's constant. And the eclipse or the black sun is a constant every time I cross the abyss. I see it. So it was like something I kind of wanted to touch on because, like, a lot of people I think are a little bit confused about like what that symbol and that stuff is. So I you know, and if people were to actually start looking, you know, this is a weird thing. I think because we see eclipses or even like the sun or the moon, you don't think anything of that when you see it in a painting or you see it in advertisement because we see the shit all the time. But if you were to start like looking, especially into like 80s and 90s rock bands, that eclipse stuff is in your face all over the place.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I'm most familiar with the song Black Hole Sun. I'm sure you get that a lot when you talk about this. But when you look up the lyrics to that, it's like, huh, what are they talking about in that song?
In my opinion, they're talking about crossing the abyss. I mean, even the weird thing is even like in that video, you know how those people have those faces? I mean, that is actually, some people do see like that because it's like a problem with their brain. You know, and I'm talking about, like, I think occultism actually, some of the deepest secrets are actually describing your inside of your eyeball and how it works with your brain. Because, I mean, our eyes actually technically are just an extension of our brain. Mm-hmm. They're all part of the same thing. So you have to wonder, like, I do believe that if you actually understand some of the deepest secrets of occultism, you're going to understand physiology. So in my opinion, them talking about a brain issue that makes you see weird shit, I mean, it's not too far off from, you know, eyes and brain, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do
want it's all part of the nervous system.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, if you want, I could maybe, like, go into, like, how it starts. So, you know, after, like I said, after I had those experiences, I guess, I mean, I'll be a little honest. I was nervous and it did freak me out a little bit because I was like, this wasn't my intentions of what I was trying to do. When it first happened, I think I was just basically like either invoking God or Hathor. It was a Friday. And, you know, I'm an Aries, so I can be like a little hotheaded sometimes. So just, you know, just whatever. You know, if people listen to my show, they know what I'm getting at. But sometimes I do actually think, you know, maybe I should change who I am or I need to work on myself a little bit. And I was just trying to add like a little bit more of like love and beauty against like my heart.
Right.
Try to equal
some balance.
Yes. Balance. Exactly. That's a magician. They should be balanced. And, I was working on that and, you know, that's what brought into the experience. But then like after that, again, it was just like all meditations and, you know, normally, like, I'll sit down when I want to go to meditate and I'll start, like, kind of just working on just, well, first off, I guess just closing my eyes and getting comfortable. And then there was, like, certain practices that I just kind of picked up from, you know, getting into occultism, suggested things for people to do. And a lot of times I would just, like, kind of, like, picture myself, like just like taking light and just like it flowing through my body and going down like out my feet into the ground or vice versa. I would just like sit there and imagine that and picture that for a while. And as crazy as it sounds, you know, maybe for people who actually meditate, if they listen to the show, for me, after a while, I swear I could actually like feel like what I'm envisioning in my head or in my mind's eye about like my body in a chair and the light going in it. Like, I swear you can start feeling it like as you're visualizing it. And then, like, I would do that for a while. And then eventually I would start, like, focusing on chakras. And I remembered, you know, the first time that I actually crossed, you know, I believe I really, truly crossed the abyss and had all these visuals. I remember, like, as I was doing my chakras, I remember that when I had that weird experience with, on that Friday I was talking about. Prior to having that experience, I was pushing very hard on my pineal gland when I was focusing on it. And like, even though I was starting to attribute that possibly to this weird experience, I just decided to do it anyway while I was meditating. I guess maybe because I didn't do a ritual, I didn't think maybe I'd get the same experience. Or maybe I was still looking for it and just was just like, I don't know.
Subconsciously.
Yeah. Like, let me fuck around and find out again. I don't know. You know, it just seemed like. And, you know, I was sitting there meditating and I was like pushing on my pineal gland, like very hard, actually. And like, for me, I could start to feel it, or it even feels like a hard wall or something there. And I was like kind of pushing on it real hard and focusing. I would like kind of put my eyes up in an angle, like almost cross-eyed looking up towards my pineal gland. It's funny how like some people have even said, oh, you're kind of making a triangle like that. And I said, yeah, you know, because you get some people throwing a triangle. I don't necessarily think it's this. I think that triangle has something to do with something else, but it is interesting. I will focus my eyes up, like kind of, it's almost like making a triangle with my pineal gland. And I was holding it, and all of a sudden it just got like really black. Like my vision when I was meditating would look black to begin with, especially after, you know, if people meditate, I'm sure you realize like after 15 minutes, it's a lot, for me, it's a lot darker in my, I guess, in my vision than it was when I first started, you know? And so it was like already pretty dark. I was already like pretty relaxed. I, you know, again, for me, I just want to say meditation for me is not clearing my mind. It's like maybe focusing on like three things instead of 100, you know, but you're really trying to focus on one. But for me, like meditation was never to clear my mind. It was literally just to focus on one thought. I keep thinking about it. So I'm just like sitting there and just trying to hold my pineal gland. And like I said, it's dark. And when I started pushing on it, this is the best way to explain it. And this is another thing too. A lot of these visuals that I start to have from like this point on, it's almost like, it's almost impossible to try to explain it. And I guess, you know, the English language, because like it's stuff that I don't have words for. So I have to try to use like examples. And, you know, I also think that's kind of why we have occult art. It's because I think there's just no words for certain things. So we try to make art out of it to explain it. So, yeah, it's black. I'm focusing on my pineal gland. I've given examples to where it's like maybe if I was looking at a black table and I thought it was black, and like maybe like I looked down and blew on it and there was dust on it that I didn't notice until I blew on it, and the dust moves away, and then you're like, wow, that's really a black table underneath that. Or if like you had like, I don't know, black pavement or a black road and oil came out and started like oozing out and it's blacker than everything else, it like literally starts to look like that, like the black gets really black and starts like filling up my vision, and like right around, I guess, the outside of like the real black part, there's like these little lines that look like they're like burning rainbow colors. Like, it's very much like an oil slick. Like if you're driving down the road and you saw water or oil in the water out on the road, you'd see it like kind of like around the edges. You kind of start to see that. And then like my whole vision will just fill up with all that black. And then like sometimes, about half the time, not always, will almost start to look like a black wave, or like if it was like a black silk flag, like kind of like just moving, like flowing. And like I've even wondered, like at this point, and this may sound crazy or hard for people to even be like, what the hell is he talking about? Because I do think that there's actually something going on with your visuals and your eyes and your pineal gland. I have wondered, like, is that light shining on something that's giving the optical illusion of it moving? I know that may sound crazy, but I've actually thought like the black actually isn't moving. It's light shining on it to give it the look that it is moving. And then it'll like eventually just stop and get real still. And like, even at that point, it's like, I almost start to kind of like go deaf, believe it or not. Like there's no more sound and it just gets like real quiet and it gets real still. And then all of a sudden, like this little white light, it's like this burning star or this burning dot. And the crazy thing is, this is going to sound nuts. And like somebody on my show, I have a few dudes on my show, haven't gone the distance, but they've gotten to certain experiences with this. And like even some of them, like two of them are even telling me, like the crazy thing is that like when you see that dot, it's like almost It's like literally, it's almost like you have depth within your vision, and like it does look like there's like a space in between. It's really wild and a weird feeling. But it's like you see this dot, and it looks like it's like off in the distance, and it's like bright white, like burning. Like, again, I can't even explain. I've never seen visuals like this with my eyes open, to where it's like this burning white dot. And around it, seems like you can see. This is so hard to explain. If you were to draw maybe clouds on a piece of paper, on a white piece of paper, you didn't color anything in. You just did the outline of clouds. It looks like you would see, I guess, whatever you drew with your pencil, like that line, like almost like around the circle, you know, around the dot. And it almost starts to give like kind of like a look of like the outline of clouds. And it's almost very 3D in a sense. Like you might be too young for this. I don't know if you remember viewfinders back in the day where you used to put those. It looks a lot like how that works, where it's like a bunch of little things kind of in there to give the illusion. It looks like very 3D, but like layered one-dimensional, two-dimensional things to make a 3D look. It's so hard to explain. But it looks like that. And it starts to get like a little bit bigger. And then all of a sudden, I will start to see like explosions, or looks like explosions, like around it, like all these different colors, like flashing. If anybody's a Twin Peaks fan, I think season 3, when David Lynch shows the atomic bomb dropped, I think he's trying to recreate this whole situation. Very overdramatic way for David Lynch to do it, because that's, if he wants you to pay attention to something, he'll do it for 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Be like, did you? You know, so you have like all these explosions around like this pin dot, and then, you know, it's kind of almost like, you know, red or orange or, you know, yellow like mixtures. And then at some point near the end of like this specific vision, it starts to basically just be red. And the crazy thing is, this is why I have my logo the way it is, with the eclipse and the roses around it. It starts to look like bursting, like roses are actually blooming, or bursting, like around the eclipse, because of the red and because of those outlines again. It starts to look like roses bursting. And I'll even make this claim, and this is due to even my co-host Lisa. She's gone down to the Austin Library that has a lot of Crowley's actually handwritten work there. And he has the vision and the voice, the notes on the vision and the voice. And she was able to look at it. And he does mention Rose a lot. He had a girl called Rose, supposedly at one point. And when you're reading his notes, you can definitely see that he's throwing Rose in there for the gematria, you know, for the value of the word and for symbolism. So I do question if when Crowley was talking about Rose, sometimes he might have actually been talking about that experience. That's just my opinion. But like you start to get, like I said, it looks like these roses blooming around an eclipse. Well, that's another thing too. I forgot to mention, as this the light gets brighter and starts to get closer, you'll start to see it looks like almost like a black cloud turn into like a sphere in the middle of the white light. So now it looks like an eclipse, and then I start getting the explosions around the eclipse. Eventually, you know, this whole time I'm holding my pineal gland still. Whole time I'm holding on to it and pushing on it. And after the explosions, it will start to look like it changes into like almost geometrical shapes that are like spinning and like flashing at you, like coming at you, like all sorts of different, like, kind of geometrical stuff.
Like sacred geometry?
Like sacred geometry, like all these different types of, you know, 8 or 10-pointed stars or all these things just, like, spinning around coming at you. And, that will happen for a bit. But the weird thing is that I don't know if, like, maybe it skips or I just don't remember it. But, like, sometimes I don't always see that. But it does show up more than not. And then after that happens, this is where the new logo that Mario from Symbolic Studies made for me. I don't know if you happen to see me. I don't think I posted it on Instagram, maybe in my story. I posted it on Twitter, but, you know, I had him actually like kind of capture a moment in time of my I guess, abyss jumping. And you'll have this eclipse. Again, it's still there. All that other stuff will go away. And then it starts to look like, and this is the crazy, and it's only certain, it's like two ways I can try to explain what I was seeing. It's like you'll have this eclipse, and then it starts to look like movie reels. It's the best way that, or I'll get into another way to describe it. It's like movie reels start coming out of it, like real slow and going past like your vision. It's like these rectangle, like cellophane windows that have like the sepia look to it too. I don't know if you know what sepia looks like.
Yes.
They all
kind of brownish.
Yes. Yo, when I swear to you, I know this is going to sound crazy just from doing like podcasting and video. When I came across the sepia effect, I was like, yo, did somebody make this due to the visualization that they had crossing the abyss? Because that's exactly what everything looks like. It looks like it's in a sepia view. It's weird. Yeah, it is really weird because I was just like, holy shit. I was like, that's exactly how I see stuff with that effect on. So you start getting like, they look like rectangle, you know, not rectangle. Yeah, I guess they're not a square, but it's like a little bit bigger. And they're going really slow. And I've said before, it's almost like if I was standing in the middle of like a subway or train station and I had two trains coming at me. And I was in the middle platform, but they were going slow and you could look into like the car windows. That's exactly what it looks like. But it's like going really slow. And like it looks like all different scenes too. Like it's not like one looks like it's connecting to the next one. It just looks like all different, in my opinion, times and space. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. I'll be totally honest.
Right.
You know, there was one time, you know, I have all the times I've messed with magic. There was like one time where I was like kind of interested in what I was seeing in the, and I guess in the visuals, to where like interested me. And it was like really weird because it was like I almost kind of like floated forward a little bit. Now, I don't have a body either. When I'm having these visuals, it's just as if I'm seeing it. I have no body. Like I'm just... Yeah, I'm just like witnessing an event. Honestly, that's what it seems like. I started to like kind of like, it's like I turned to the side and like looked into the window. And I was like, damn, I was like, either it looks like Arizona or like a nuclear fallout. Like I couldn't tell the difference really. It just looked like, you know, a desert and just a wasteland. And I remember thinking in my mind, I was like, this doesn't look too appealing. I don't know if I want to really entertain this. Like I had like a thought in my head for some reason, or a thought in my mind that I could go there. I don't know if I could maybe walk through the, like I had it in my head, I'm not going there. I don't know why. And as soon as I started to like question what I was seeing behind the thing, I came out of it. Which is something I'll get into again, that the reasons why I think we come out of these experiences. But besides that, you know, normally I wait. It just keeps going and you'll see all these like different like visions and stuff. And then at that point, the physical feeling will start kicking in. And at like some point, like on the bottom of my feet, it will start to like, you can almost like feel like a sensation going on, like a tingling. And it feels like, as crazy as it sounds, like if I was laying down, it's like as I feel the tingling like move up my leg, and let's say like it's made it to my knee, everything below that is like non-existent too. Like it doesn't feel like it's there anymore. It almost feels like it's like I'm a Yo, as crazy as it sounds, this is going to sound nuts, but I do think that in the movie Tron, they're actually showing you what's going on when you cross the abyss. As crazy as it sounds. You know how it like reads you and starts erasing you and it sucks you into the computer? I mean, for me, it was this, but I think they went from the top down. For me, it felt like it was from my feet up, that it just starts to like, yeah, that it just started to disappear. And there's even like, as crazy as it sounds, I've even like kind of developed ways to, I guess, mind fuck myself into even speeding that up. Like when I start to feel that, I'll visualize like myself made out of sand and that's just blowing away. And it seems to speed up the fucking process. But it literally feels like you're disappearing. But the energy that's like within myself that I, cause like you, for me, it feels like that tingling feeling is like energy moving up my body. And like, I guess if it's left my feet, it's no longer existent. You know, I don't know what's there anymore. So as it starts to build up, like I can even feel like it starts to build up in my chest, in my head. And at some point, like, it starts to feel like it's, like, really building up in my pineal gland. Like, it's almost as if I could take that energy and start forcing more of it. Remember, because I'm holding my pineal gland this whole time. I'm pushing on it. It feels like I can start, like, believe it or not, push on it harder. Because I don't know if there's, like, energy building up or whatever. I'm just kidding. I could just go by my feelings and what visuals I have and the changes. So all this starts to happen. And I'm, like, pushing on my pineal gland really hard. And it will get to the point to where it's, like, literally, like, I feel like I just have a head floating, or, like, I just have a head on a pillow on my bed if I'm laying down. Nothing else is there. Completely disappeared from my neck down. At that point, it'll start to feel like, as crazy as it sounds, as this, I guess, as if I was, like, laying down on a beach and the waves crashed and they rolled up the sand, and somehow, like, I guess if, like, the bottom of my feet or my soles were missing, and somehow the water could run through my body instead of around it. You literally, for me, I'll literally start to feel like actual, like, waves of trickling water. It is so weird. It's something I never felt that experience until this. Yeah, I can't even say it's anything that I've experienced before. That is even, like, another thing that I've even said with this experience. I, with the whole death aspect, I can't confuse that with any other experience, because I've never felt anything like that until then. I, you know what I'm saying? I can't be like, oh, maybe it was so-and-so. No, it can't be, because I've never felt this before.
Nothing comparable.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. There's no reference for me to go to with this. This is a completely new experience and visual. I have nothing. I got nothing on this, you know? So I start to feel that, and it feels like it starts to build up in my head. And then at this point, the visual, those movie things kind of stop, and it's just like the eclipse. And all of a sudden, the black sphere that's in front of the white one will start to rise up. Instead of, like, a moon waxing and waning from left to right, like, this kind of, like, starts to move up. And as it starts to slowly first start to move, it's so wild. It looks like you'll have, like, this crescent-shaped moon with, like, a black sphere on top of it. And it looks just like Toth's headdress, which I do think that has something to do with this, believe it or not. It looks like a crescent moon with, like, a sphere on top of it. And I guess, like, if we weren't so used to, like, eyeballs being drawn, like, oval, and if they were more round, I get, like, literally, it, like, looks like as the black sphere is moving up, believe it or not, it actually does kind of look like a round eye, like, open as it's rising up. And once that black sphere kind of, like, separates from the white one, they'll pull apart from each other. At that point, if I go that far, which a lot of times I haven't actually really, going to be honest, I haven't crossed the abyss in probably about almost 2 years. But whenever I would do it, at this point is when I think, like, I'll bring myself up to before it starts to move, and then I'll stop because I know I'm going somewhere after that. But at this point, it's pretty much like a go at them. Once it separates, for me, it looks like, you know, it starts to fly forward. And at that same point where it looks like it's flying forward, my pineal gland that I've been putting pressure on, something feels like it, like, snaps or breaks, and, like, it flies back at you. I know it sounds weird, but it sounds like I actually question if there's a polarity change, because I'm pressing forward, and now all of a sudden, like, I'm still pressing forward, but now it snaps back. It's almost as if, like, I've wondered, it sounds crazy as it sounds, and I've seen David Bowie do this pose before. I've told people it's almost as if I was the archer and I was pulling the bow and arrow away to shoot myself in the fucking head.
It's kind of like that as above, so below, the polarity that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like as if I was pushing my hand out to hold the arrow, and, like, when I let go and it snaps, it's like, literally, it's like, as crazy as it sounds, it looks like I'm looking down the barrel of a gun and I'm watching a bullet come fly at my head.
Right.
And then it blasts me, and all I see is white light, and the back of my head where a yarmulke would go literally starts to feel like my soul is slipping out of there. And it starts to feel like I'm, like, becoming weightless. it's just crazy as it sounds. It almost like literally feels like I'm like something's melting off of me as I'm slipping out of my body. And I just start to feel this insane like vibration of like the only thing I compare it to is like 1,000 times stronger, immense feeling of love. Like it feels like, you know, if I had love for somebody or for a child or for a parent or a spouse or whatever, I hate to say it's 100 times stronger than that. It's stronger than any drug I've ever taken that's given me some euphoric reason. Yeah, it's stronger than any nut anybody I think could bust probably too. Like, I'm going to keep it real. It is intense and it rings through my whole being. And it just, there's no hate. There's no fear. There's no shame. I'm not, it's the crazy thing is there's almost no thought at all. I'm not worrying about my fucking iPhone, my podcast, trying to get laid, whatever, money. None of that shit is even a thought, except for the fact that this feels amazing and I'm totally in love with just the experience. It's really like, unfortunately, I can see how some people can find it addictive. Because I've even said before, I mean, it is an addictive experience and a feeling because it's something that I've never experienced in this world. And it's just wild to actually feel like you are 100% love and part of the creation that you're looking at. Because like, as I start to slip out, it feels like, as crazy as it is, from like my ears out, it literally starts to feel like I'm being pulled. And like being part of what I'm seeing and experiencing. It literally feels like I'm part of the fabric of my vision.
And it's like you're one.
Yeah. And a lot of the crazy shit too, a lot of the visuals that I've had, it's going to sound crazy, but it's like, I think I've seen NASA generate visuals like that before. Like as crazy as it sounds, it almost does look like you're kind of like out in space and like you're part of an aurora or like the Milky Way or something. It is really weird. Yeah, well, I question what NASA puts out there anyway, you know. But my opinion, I think some of the planets might actually be inside of our fucking eyeball or our head, but that's out there. Yeah, I mean, I've even mentioned before, people like, and it sounds crazy to even admit, people will talk about like Enoch and his visions. There's been times when I've crossed the abyss where it looks like I'm actually like floating above the sky and watching the earth just go far away. So, I mean, I've even seen stuff like that. And you're like, what the fuck? And like, I mean, I can't even come out and admit that. People will think I'm nuts. But like, at this point, I don't care. But like,
it's kind of like you're astral projecting.
Yes. Yeah. I've even said I think astral projection might like kind of be like in between or very close to actually like blasting off completely magically.
Yeah. Like the phase before.
Your soul, I think.
Yeah.
Which is why I suggest people to go listen to NDEs, because they'll even have experiences like that with like seeing their world floating away from them. But this is I guess kind of like another thing that I think is very important. I think it's a little bit different for you. I'm just going to be completely honest with the type of podcasting people you're probably surrounded with. It's probably a little different. You probably don't have that much many of like piece of shit shills. You know, like undercover magicians hiding. But I do think this is an important thing to cover. And I think this is a huge issue nowadays. It's just for people in general. It doesn't even matter, podcasting, but especially in the conspiracy and the occult community. After I have this experience, and this is going to sound silly and crazy. Once, again, just to add this, anytime I'm having these experiences and I start to think, where am I and what do I look like or what am I doing? It's fucking over. As soon as I think of self, which I believe is because if I'm connected to, let's say, the all or some, you know, the all, the consciousness, as soon as I think I am something, I'm separating myself from everything else. If I think I'm a chair, I can't be a table now. So if I'm thinking about Nick, I can't be part of everything else because now I just separated myself and having my own separate experience. And I actually think that that's what ends it, because I've disconnected myself from God again. And because I disconnected myself with God, this is just my opinion. I open up my eyes and I realize I'm fucking here and I'm fucked. That's just my opinion. I must have done something. And that, I'll be totally honest with you. That was a huge mind fuck for me with fucking with magic. Is like, why does that exist? But I'm stuck here 99.99999% of the time. Like, why is that an option? But yet I'm here. That's a little deep for me to wonder about. But after these experiences, I will open up my eyes, and I know this happens with other people. It's like almost information starts to flow through your head, to where it's like you're even things that I knew prior, like stuff that I studied about magic and the Kabbalah, well, all of a sudden, it's like I'll have these visuals. It's like almost as somebody is like either playing a zoetrope or putting like cards down of visuals and like showing you this like string of how
it's like a download.
I hate using that phrase, but it's like it's the best way to use it. I'd be talking to you. I normally use that phrase whenever I talk about it. It is very much like a download. You know, I even joke around. It's like very much like the Matrix. I don't think you're going to wake up actually learning Kung Fu like Neo did, but like you'll wake up and be like, I just learned so-and-so.
Right. Well, like you can, there's like the string between the connections. Like it's all making sense. Like you had the puzzle pieces, but now it's like pushing them together.
Yes, that is the best way to put it. I'm going to have to start using that. It was like, yeah, it's like literally like all these visions were puzzle pieces that they rearranged and put together a different way. And you're like, oh shit, now there's the picture that I'm supposed to be making. And it's really wild. And the thing is that like for me, you know, you have this experience. In my opinion, I do think it's, you know, it's possible that I did have an experience with God. You'll come back and you'll like, again, you'll start knowing things you didn't know prior. And you'll start understanding things, or maybe you're going to see the world in a completely different way, in my opinion, when this happens. And I do think at some point, this is just for me, I do think like judgment, at least on myself, is really in play, because I've had an experience with God. I've been blessed with that. And then I've been blessed with like understanding stuff that I didn't really comprehend prior. And now I have like, I feel like I'm at a crossroads where it's like, well, one, I guess I could try to totally imagine this never happened, but I just don't think that's possible. Either I take my experience and I try to pass it on to other people and let them know what happened, or I keep my experience and the stuff that I start to learn, I use that to manipulate human beings with and make money or create cult members. In my opinion, you're going to understand exactly how the human mind works a little bit more. I mean, my opinion, in order to even get to a magical experience, I think you have to do so much shadow work that before that even happens, you'll probably have a good idea of how to push people's buttons if you really want to. Because we're all pretty much the same. We just happen to have maybe certain things that have to be pushed a little bit more to get us to think and react. But yeah, but I mean, from my opinion, I just think, you know, we're all very much the same. And I do think that like after these magical experiences, you can be given the option to either become a shitty person or you can actually do like good things with it. And unfortunately, I think you get a lot more people out there like taking ideas from the abyss and just rebranding it and selling it to people as a fairy tale.
Like what's in it for me?
Yes.
Collective.
Yeah. Or instead of just passing along like a message of hope, people find a way to monetize it. You know, and for me, I guess that's kind of why, you know, with entertainment, even a show like yourself, I get monetizing it and trying to make money because podcasting costs fucking money. But like for me, when it comes to like occultism, yeah, I know it's costing so much money. I'm about to start asking for donations. Oh my
God. But, drop the link. We'll post it in the show notes.
It's just like, damn, like StreamYard. I use StreamYard. That shit just went up to $800 a year because they decided to throw me into the 4K package after they put it out. I was like, oh, thanks. I do think that, unfortunately, you know, money will become a big thing with magic. But yeah, for me, like, again, I was saying, like, you know, with me, with occultism and having an occult show, like I don't even feel comfortable like selling my information because, you know, again, you know, what if I'm wrong? But yeah, I just think that a lot of people, like, put it this way too, like if this stuff is true and if somewhat death is kind of needed for this experience. If you have like megalomaniacs that are trying to run the world, and if they are really kind of pulling their own plug out for a little bit to understand things that regular humans don't, like, how do you think they really value our lives? You know, if they're kind of willing to give up theirs, because that's like another thing too, I will admit, you know, there's a chance that you won't come back. You know, so like, even if you're willing to do this, you have to kind of actually understand, like, for me, once I started realizing what's happened, for me to keep going any farther, which sounds crazy, maybe, I don't know if it sounds disturbing, but like, I have to be okay with, like, I may not, you know, come back and have my iPhone anymore. I may not come back and have my podcast anymore. I may not see my brother again. You know, I may not see so-and-so again. That's a thing that, like, kind of, for me, you kind of have to, like, be okay with losing everything to have that experience in that moment. So if you have people like that, that are fucked up in the head, I don't think they'll give actually much shits about your, you know, other people's lives.
Yeah, no, so that's true.
Probably, we're all probably disposable to them.
And that's how, you know, you could explain, you know, people say, well, how could they do something like that? But, you know, if they're willing to sacrifice themselves, you're just a pawn.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. And it's like, I guess, make the best out of it. But like I was saying before, you know, opening your eyes and ending up here, I have questioned, are we very close to hell or even hell already? I know that sounds shitty to think about, but it's just like, I don't know. I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, I have known some, like, this is where I think even some serial killers, mm-hmm, or occultists, I do think even in their mind, they think that they might be freeing people when they're killing.
Yeah. No, I think who was it? Not the Zodiac Killer. Because I know he thought he was gathering slaves for the afterlife, but I can't recall who it is. But I remember they were like freeing them from this world to be able to move on.
I just, you know, I do wonder about that. You know, I have seen people, occultists or people, even say things that are like, I think they might be like kind of on like the same thought that I am, that like maybe we're kind of screwed if we're in the flesh.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to really try to, I guess, captivate the visuals and the experiences, I think in the amount of time I just did that now, I think I pretty much covered most of that. You know, again, I'll feel the physical feeling. I feel like I slept out of my meat suit. And it's just this overwhelming feeling of love and visuals that are amazing. And like the colors, that's even another thing. The colors that you see, I can't even like really describe in reality, because it's almost like as if they're burning or they're bright, like, mm-hmm, like a sharp neon look.
It's almost like another dimension.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another thing, like sometimes like shit will look grainy, like almost look like it's made out of sand or clay or like very porous. Like it's so much descriptive than I see with my eyes open, put it that way.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, it definitely sounds like you like untether for a little bit. And to your point of that, like, how come you haven't been back? Do you plan on having another magical experience soon, or
are, yeah,
you kind of hesitant?
I'll be totally honest, and I said it on another show, I do think because of the probably just due to one, I'll be totally honest, my podcast and maybe like certain friendships or relationships that I have now. Some people, I'm not willing to let go of that yet, to cross the abyss. I'll just be totally honest with you. I do believe I am. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I do December, the month of December, every year since I fucked with magic is real easy. I don't know what it is. I could close my eyes, lay down, and within a few minutes, I'll have that vision in my head. So, I mean, that is another thing. That must be something with the winter solstice. The winter solstice and the spring equinox, my opinion, if I wanted to blast off, whew, I could definitely keep doing it then. It's like, yeah. So before Christmas, I think it might be possible that I might try. But the last 2 years, I'll say I think I've been too much in love with my podcast. And again, just friends and people that I've met since then, that I don't think I'm willing to give up the possibility of not having that anymore. But it is an experience. Like, I used it when we were working on the Scarlet Horse series on the Occult Rejects. I'll be totally honest with you. I jumped the abyss just to get ideas for the show and to understand more stuff that I didn't understand. And it works. I can bring myself to the movie reels and stop and like kind of come back with like something.
That's so interesting. And I wonder how they talk about like seers. I wonder if when they're having those experiences and they're trying to see things, if they're doing something similar to you. And like you talked about like the train cars going by, if they're looking and they're able to see events like past, present, or future.
I think that's actually very, very on point. And, you know, and I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, wow, Nick's cool. He had that chance to do it. I didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't choose to do that, but I do think that's an option. For some reason, again, like I had this feeling that those windows were options for me to explore. It was just like something that like was in myself or my thought when I was looking at them. I'm like, do I want to go in here or not? And that's why I said the vision was just like not tantalizing to me.
Right. I mean, you described a wasteland, so it's not like you're at the beach and it's like Mexico. And
there's a nuclear fallout and I'm going to be the only person there. Like, that's not going to be funny.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's another thing. I don't know if I really want to get into it too far, but I mean, well, if this happens, I wouldn't do it too often in a short period of time because I've sent myself to the hospital, I believe, due to this stuff. The advice for somebody, you're going to have to do it. In my opinion, you're going to have to really do a lot of work on yourself because like I think if you're not really level-headed, this shit might fuck your head up after the fact. I mean, there's times I'll even say for myself, you know, you'll come back with, in my opinion, knowledge. Like, it's almost as if these things are like, you know it to be real now, or you know it to be a truth. It's not a faith. And sometimes, for me, when there were certain things that came into my head or visuals that made a knowing for me, it wasn't easy. It's more of like, you know, I basically got to toss out the idea. I don't know, when did this happen? Like 4 or 5 years ago. At that time, I was probably 42. I basically was like, I have to throw out everything that I've believed because it just would not make sense with the way that like science and reality has been given to me.
Yeah, that shifted your paradigm.
Yeah, yeah. But like the thing is, like, I'm not trying to like sound like a cocky or a prick about it, but it's like, you know, people could come across a conspiracy theory and have faith that that's real and they'll go with it. But like when you have something that's like a knowing, like that really is way different, I think, in my opinion. And that can really shatter your mind.
Because this is something you've actually experienced.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess make sure you're very level-headed. You're open to a lot of different things. You know, meditation for me, and I'm not pushing it, I guess, really, but I have to go by like what I was into. And again, I find it interesting how like you mentioned the Kabbalah, and people automatically think that there's rituals. I've never seen one ritual written in any work of Kabbalah. There's no rituals. It's all ideas and thoughts of the mind and how we were created. Right. God. You know, I studied a lot of that, and I do think that, believe it or not, helped me give a frame of reference of kind of what I just experienced. Because you will almost see certain things kind of mentioned in the Kabbalah to be like, oh, fuck, is that what just happened? You know, like, so like that, it gave me some frame of reference. But like, for all I know, somebody could be into different stuff and they'll still see the frame of reference kind of. But for me, I was very much into the Kabbalah and meditation when that happened and just praying to God. I do think to an extent, like Crowley said, you know, a slave to the gods. You know, I just want to preface this too. That's another reason why I bring up, I didn't need rituals. Like, you know, if I'm invoking Toth or Hathor or this person or that person, like I'm still a slave. I'm asking somebody else to do something for me because I can't do it. So I think like kind of just like focusing on God and art and ideas of God, I think would possibly be something good to maybe learn about before messing with magic.
And like you said, you weren't really looking for it. And I think that even goes for people who have paranormal or cryptid experiences. And I think about that too, because now I'm out here hunting this stuff down. I had the thought cross my mind one day, what am I doing out here? Because if I were to come across this, how would that change me? You hear from people who are experiencing just different things that, you know, we're not taught about in this reality openly. The knowledge on it is occulted. And at least you had that like frame of reference, because imagine experiencing these things. I could see how that could really mess somebody up who, you know, you think that things are one way, and then your perspective is so violently shifted. If you're not prepared for that, you could lose your mind.
Listen, I'm going to tell you one time. Yeah. One time I fucked with the shit 3 times in a week. And that shit really had me out there, to where I did end up in the hospital. Real quick, I actually had blood issues, which I thought was one weird thing that's never happened again since then. Yeah, but one other time, it was the last time I fucked with magic. It was like late at night. The other times, believe it or not, I think once was at night, a lot of them were during the day, which I thought was weird. But like the last time I did it, it was at night. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I came out of the situation and I have all this shit flying into my head. And it was to the extent to where I was like, this is going to sound crazy, but like I started Googling to see if there was any tattoo shops open, because I was going to go get a tattoo, because I honestly couldn't tell where I was exactly. And I figured if I felt pain, I would know I was here. I don't feel that in the other world. So, I mean, it's like I was almost like stuck in between both and wasn't sure where I was. For a while, and like for me to sit there thinking I'm literally going to take a needle in my skin just so I know I'm here.
You know, there's a lyric to a song that goes, when it hits, you feel no pain. I wonder if these people are having these experiences and they're dropping little hints through their songs and art.
There's a lot of people that I do believe or I know are occultists, especially in the music, not huge in that music industry. They got a fuck ton of tattoos, and I've actually wondered if, like, if I'm not the only person who's had that idea. Because I could see, like, if I did that during the day, it's quite possible that might have happened. Or to even just be like, you know, this idea I just had, throw it on my skin. That vision I just saw.
Which is really cool that you guys were able to create your new logo, which looks amazing, by the way. Thanks. I'm so glad you were able to explain it.
Yeah, that was... I was very happy that Mario was able to take, like, a snapshot of my experience and put it out there. You know, and I'll just be totally honest with you too. The main reason I even wanted, besides, it's an artistic depiction of something that I've experienced that was like an image of love to me to an extent. I'm bragging and I'm throwing that image out there so other people can actually see that I've experienced the same thing you have and I'm not a fake. Because this vision is going to be seen by other people doing this shit. I've had other people tell me about that. Unfortunately, in the conspiracy community, I have to say probably about 70% of shit out there is either due to shills or people at the top telling us what to think. And I mean, a lot of it, what I was trying to say before, people will take their experiences and then sell it. You know, either it's a UFO, just all sorts of silly shit to where, I don't know how to explain it, but in my opinion, there's the conspiracy community is controlled by magicians. That's my opinion. Unfortunately, due to the people that are handing us down everything that we're supposed to run with. Unfortunately, I mean, how do shows all of a sudden pop up in a recording studio? You know how much money that costs to do? You're looking at $150, $200 an hour. You got shows showing up in recording studios for 3 to 5 hours. They're being propped up. They're already paid for. You know, the Masons are running them, or, you know, somebody else is running them. But in my opinion, when it comes to the occult community, the reason why you have such outlandish, crazy stories is because magicians are selling it to people.
Yeah, I think that there is an element of the controlled opposition to it. I wonder, people who are here to spread misinformation and confusion, because I feel like you said about 75%, and then there is that 25% that's really onto something, but it's so oversaturated that when people bring up concepts that are probably truthful, our brains are so hardwired to discredit them and not believe them.
Well, this is, this is another problem too, and I'm not patting myself on the back, making myself sound any better. But again, I'm going to say it here. If you want to understand, in my opinion, some of the deepest secrets of secrets that is hidden in occult symbolism, study the eye and the whole experience, the physical and visual experience of dying. Now, if that is true, all these people out there that are saying this, because that's another problem in the conspiracy community. You have people or the occult community, you have people who've never even done a ritual or read a book telling people what's what. You haven't even had the experience of death, so you don't understand the secrets, and you're telling people this is the secret. You're fucking wrong. I hate to tell people. If you have not had the experience of crossing the abyss, you are never going to understand most occultists out there. You're never going to understand Crowley. You're never going to understand Robert Flood. You're never going to understand Michael Meyer. You're never going to understand John Dee. You're not going to stand any of them because their shit is as if they already crossed the abyss and they're telling you what's what. You don't know and you don't understand it. I'm not trying to sound cocky or special because, again, I've said there's plenty of people who know more than me. There's people out there in the conspiracy and the occult community that literally they have no right saying anything, and they do because, oh, I watched a Jordan Maxwell video 10 years ago and I'm just regurgitating his shit and everybody thinks I'm a genius now. Or I'm just, you know, reiterating Mark Passio, Michael Tsarian, and David Icke. It's like, just because you watched a few of their videos doesn't mean you know anything. You haven't had an experience. You haven't, I'll be totally honest with you, you haven't died. You have to have, in my opinion, you have to have those experiences to understand everything. And 99% of the people out there giving truth have not had it. So unfortunately, when you hear 100 people talk about silly fairy tales and then one dude coming out and saying something drastically different, it's not going to get listened to, which sucks. I'll be totally honest with you. You might be better off. You don't know, because again, it's going to change your life and it's changed mine. I'm not the same person I was anymore. My life has completely changed because of this.
Is that it is a life-changing, paradigm shifting experience. That's why I wonder with the stuff I do. Do I even want to be going down and opening this door? Like, because yeah. I know that eventually I'm going to find something and it's going to change the way I view reality.
It could change a lot of relationships in your life as well, which is what sucks. Because people will have no idea where I'm coming from or understand me sometimes.
I'm a Scorpio rising. Oh. And I feel a lot of times, yes, I'm a Libra sun, Leo moon, Scorpio rising. And I feel that a lot. I do feel really misunderstood.
Well, you got a lot of fire and then some water on there.
And some air.
I'm in Aries, but with like a Leo moon. And Leo rising. So it's
cool. My rising Scorpio is just like that darker side. I think that's a huge reason why I've looked into the occult as heavily as I have. I'm super into the astrology side of things. You do feel misunderstood because there's not a lot of people you can talk to about this type of stuff. People in your day to day, they don't have the tools to comprehend it. Like you were saying, mm-hmm. They just don't.
One thing I do want to throw out there when it comes to astrology, as crazy as it sounds, I do actually think it's separating your eye into 12 sections and it's trying to explain to you changes going on.
Oh, wow. So it kind of all comes back to that.
Yeah. There was something you said too that I wanted to say, I lost it. You were saying something. I guess I pretty much got most of it out. You know, again, the experience and the feelings and the visuals I think is very important. And just like letting people know that, like, you know, after you had those experiences, I really do think that's when you're kind of handed with, like, am I going to be a good person or am I going to be a piece of shit? And unfortunately, I think most people nowadays are going with the latter. But you know, it definitely changed my life, so put it that way.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. This was incredible. I hope that this is the first of many conversations we have.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, not a problem. I had a good time.
Well, folks, that wraps up this episode of Dark Florida. A huge thank you again to Nick from the Occult Rejects for sharing his experiences and knowledge with us. If you want to hear more of his work, be sure to check out the Occult Rejects podcast and follow their content. Links will be in the show notes. And as always, if you have your own stories and would like to be on the show, you've had encounters or experiences with the paranormal, cryptids, or the unexplained, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast. Don't forget to support the show by subscribing, leaving a review, and visiting our Buy Me a Coffee page at buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, stay curious and stay strange.